listening to 30 on Broadway, Talking Blue Shirts on the Face Off Hockey Network. All right, hey everybody, it is a brand new 30 on Broadway, a special episode today. The New York Ranger talk will come next week. We'll recap Kreider's rise and the Rangers play and everything next week. Today, this episode, there's only one good way to describe it. That's right. This episode is an ode to the king.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. No. I was going to parlay the king.
Number 30, Henrik Lundqvist.
That's right. Hank's jersey retirement night is upon us. Just a few nights from now, Friday the 28th, against the Minnesota. I almost said the Minnesota Bromance. The Minnesota Wild with his
the Minnesota Zuccarellos.
Matt Zuccarello in attendance. Did you see who won the tickets?
I did. I saw a couple people. Won. One of them specifically, friend of the show, David Ortiz. Congratulations on his birthday.
That's awesome.
His birthday.
That is awesome.
Which is equally as awesome. So, like, really, really happy for him.
To Tizzle.
And also, by the way, just want to send a shout out to the lovely lady who raffled off said tickets, because Lord knows she could have sold them and made oodles of money.
That was awesome. That was really awesome.
And she decided to do a really, really nice thing. And that is super impressive, especially in this day and age where it seems like acts of kindness go by the wayside. So that is really impressive. And that was really, really awesome.
Yeah, it was a really awesome thing. So, all right, coming up in a little bit, Broadway Hat, Kyle from the Broadway Hat joins, sits down with me to talk. We do a little bit of Ranger talk in the beginning because we have to. We hadn't had him on since June. And, you know, we did our talk. That was when Gerard Gallant had done his first introductory press conference as a Ranger. So we talk a little bit about that and how the season's been going so far. And then we jump into the Henrik Lundqvist talk. One of the things that we talk about, and it's...
Yes, I'm actually not included in that conversation.
It's... Wow.
No, it's not a bad thing. It's just because Kyle was on vacation and I was stuck working. So...
Which on top of...
It's really
awesome for Kyle to join. I mean, he's on vacation, and he took some time out of his day to sit down
with Chris, of all people.
Yeah, I mean, okay, thanks. Appreciate you. But listen, Henrik Lundqvist burst onto the NHL scene as an unknown deep draft pick that you would never really peg a later round draft pick to become a superstar in the NHL. And that's what Hank did. Hank became not just a superstar in the NHL, but a superstar New York athlete. You know, you'll hear later in the show, the ending segment where we got, I think it was like 10 or 11 people wrote in their thoughts and comments on Hank. And someone had wrote that, you know, Hank is one of the New York sports icons. He's one of the Ranger icons, you know, up there with Mark Messier. And, you know, he burst onto the scene. One of the earliest memories that I could think of, and one of the greatest memories, and I know a lot of it doesn't get talked about because everyone remembers Merrick Malik. And rightfully so, the play that Merrick Malik, the between the legs shootout goal over Olaf Kolzig, was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I thought Steve Cangelosi almost fell from the pre-chase bridge. It was so ridiculous when he made the call.
Pre-chase bridge.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
I know. That's just funny how you worded that.
I know. I did that on purpose. So we all remember the EA NHL sports style goal, but Hank lasted 15 rounds in a shootout. And he's done it a couple times where he's gone deep in shootouts. And, you know, that was just one of the beginning of many of great memories that we've had over Hank's career. You talk about the playoff performances in game sevens.
One of my personal favorite Hank moments in the playoffs. Now, okay, I always liked him. I kind of always wanted the Rangers to get him, even at the end of his career. One of my personal favorite moments, the glove save on Alexander Semin. That on the Ovi little drop pass, Semin fired that wicked wrister that he had, and Hank just said, nothing my house. And just for everyone who, you know, Hank has a weak glove. If you're going to score on Hank, shoot it at his glove. Because that was the knock on Henrik Lundqvist, that he had no glove. And he robbed one of the greatest wrist shots I've ever seen at point blank range. That is one of my favorite Henrik Lundqvist moments.
Another favorite. Let's all revisit it together.
On further and could not. Settled down there, but they cannot work their way through. It's Vanek with it, though. Backhands one in front. Oh, and what a play made by Lundqvist at the net now. My goodness. Ever. Presented by Geico on NBCSN.
The name Thomas Vanek a couple of times in this game. Pucks on his backhand, goes off the stick of Dan Girardi, and look at the effort there from Henrik Lundqvist. Throws his stick, hits it with a blocker, keeps it out of the net.
Usually that's Girardi and McDonough out there. There was a miscommunication earlier in that sequence between Stahl and Girardi, and boy, Henrik Lundqvist, some athleticism there.
That was the twirling save in the playoffs against the Montreal Canadiens.
And then a few short moments later, Dom Moore went down, scored, and the rest, as they say,
is history.
And
one of the top moments. That is one of the top moments. You can talk about this one.
Hansen wins the draw from Dominic Moore. Now Murray through center. Oh, that took a strange bounce off the board. What a stop by Henrik Lundqvist!
You have got to be kidding me. That's a wide open net. That effort. I mean, look at this. Johansson, we just get through talking about him. What an unbelievable save. How do you do that? There it is again. Funny bounce off the boards. Lundqvist wants to stop it behind the net, and that's just fantastic. The fans here get a chance to see it again on the big scoreboard. They just ooh and ah. I mean, it was just spectacular.
I have a special connection to that one because I was actually in the building for it. And I remember sitting there watching it and, like, seeing Hank leave his net. And I'm like, please don't leave your net. Don't do that. There's many things that you can do, but play the puck is not one of them. And I remember watching him go to
that was the season opener, wasn't it? The home opener?
That was the home opener.
The home opener. That's right. Yeah.
And
back in.
That was 2015-16. That was the home opener for 15-16. And I remember watching, and I see the puck take the ridiculous carom off the boards. And I was like, no, they're going to score. Damn it. Like, I was like, damn it. And because at that point, I don't know if people remember, Hank actually had a shutout going in that game at that point. And the puck took that stupid bounce. And I was like, damn, here goes the shutout. And he did that. And I was like, wow.
And it was like save of the year right off the bat. And
I was like, there's nothing that this guy can't do. This guy's he's the greatest. Like, it's just, you know. It was just one of those things where I was like, I thank God I was in the building to have seen it with my own eyes.
Now,
it was just incredible.
Here's another one. you talk about postseason performances and dominance and keeping a team in it and willing a team to victory. This one probably takes the cake.
Stepping away is Neil, and his shot was tipped high by Moore, who got right on it.
One chance for James Neal. They're pushing and prodding away. There's a Tang with a chance. Keep the play alive. Paul Martin on the back end. Lundqvist with the right side of his body denies the Penguins. And then it just gets to be mayhem. Watch the right pad. That's unbelievable. Where is that puck? Looks like it found a way, but it didn't after it went off the stick. Henrik Lundqvist found a way to seal it off.
That is my personal favorite all-time Hank moment, because that sequence is another one that I can actually, just hearing the audio, I remember. Like, I vividly remember watching. Under 5 minutes, I want to say there was about 4.5 minutes left in the game, and Rangers were clinging to a 2-1 lead. The Penguins were literally throwing everything at the house to try and get one to tie the game. And if you remember, at the end of that play, Malkin comes shooting in right to the front of the net to try and bang anything home, and literally shoves Hank into the net.
Yeah, and Hank's forcing himself with the back leg, just with all his will, keeping that puck out of the net and sealing and bringing it home.
And it was just like, after he made that flurry of saves, I remember, because I was watching the game with my dad, I remember looking at my dad and going, "Dad, we're going to go to the conference finals." I'm like, he's not letting us lose. I'm like, he refuses to let us lose. They're not beating him again. I'm like, they got one. They're never getting another one. Not after that.
Now we're bouncing around a bit. 2017 against the Ottawa Senators. Similar to this, Hank diving all around the crease with just absolute mayhem, the defense just scrambling to no end, and Hank shutting the door against the Ottawa Senators. Another one of those moments where you just sat there and go, how did he keep it out?
You know what was always awesome with Henrik Lundqvist? The fact that so many people underrated him and never wanted to give him his just due in the media specifically. And Hank always rose above. And what I mean by not giving him his just due, he could have won the Vezina probably about 3 or 4 years straight for what he did and what he meant to the New York Rangers, and how he backstopped a lot of teams to the playoffs that had no right and no business ever even sniffing the postseason.
Yep. And that was actually brought up by one of the commenters. They brought that up.
And it always seemed like, you know, Carey Price is better than Henrik Lundqvist. Carey Price is fantastic. Carey Price is the greatest goalie of his generation. Yeah. You know who Carey Price couldn't beat in the postseason?
Number 30.
It was just... Even in 16-17, when the Rangers played Montreal in the first round, Hank thoroughly outplayed from pillar to post at 36 years old, outplayed Carey Price in that series, and is the reason why the Rangers beat the Montreal Canadiens. Lundqvist thoroughly outplayed and sunned Carey Price, to the chagrin of Habs fans everywhere, which I love.
Now, a little lighthearted, on a lighthearted note, if we could transition to a moment of lightheartedness.
It's a bit of a schmozzle.
Yeah, and down here, guys, the Rangers are yelling at the Pittsburgh bench saying, "You guys are frustrated. You guys are frustrated."
And you know what? They're right.
Shoulder, which he seems to be okay now. And yeah, he even gets in the act, as the guy showed in the studio, with a little water spray as he left the ice early after this scrum was going on at the end of the period.
Something's going on with the Lions. We've got to change the puck for this draw. But of course, we know Thornton squirting PK Subban that Montreal Boston series. And we got fined for that. We'll see what happens with Lundqvist.
Henrik Lundqvist skating by Sidney Crosby in the middle of a mayhem scrum and just squirting him down with the water ball. Can't do that nowadays, folks. That's not good to do nowadays, obviously, but it was one of those funny moments.
Hank also said that was the best $5,000 he's ever spent. I don't know if you remember that comment after he got.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
He turned around and said that was the best $5,000 I've ever spent.
Yes. Considering all the designer suits and amazing attire.
His incredible wardrobe where he looks impeccable.
Yes. All the time. Another favorite moment. Does Hank ever not look amazing?
No. It just that guy rolls out of bed and it's just, you know.
All right, I got another good one for you.
Okay.
Dave. Sofie, det är väldigt viktigt hur vi tar flaskan. Head and Shoulders är mer än bara en vanligt shampoo. Om du ursäktar mig lite här.
Okej.
Ja. Vi kör igen. Vi testar igen.
Okej.
Okay. Ja.
Sold the Henrik Lundqvist Head and Shoulders ad where he's the director.
absolutely sensational.
Oh man, it's just it's unreal. Just absolutely unbelievable.
Now, if you want to do a really good Henrik Lundqvist commercial, there's only one. There's only one. And it is with my favorite alter ego persona that I am able to pull off.
Oh, you're talking about this one.
We recently hired a world-renowned chef in the cafeteria, but the only person who seems to understand him is Henrik Lundqvist.
You're the cheesy noogie in this first egg. It's from the third egg. It's from the first nuts in this first egg soon.
Henrik, what do you say?
Said today's specials are pickled herring and blood corp.
Blood corp?
You know, we're a global company. It's about time our menu reflected that.
I'll just have a hamburger.
The old ESPN, when the ESPN sports commercials, Henrik Lundqvist translating the Swedish chef. Oh my God. This is so good. Hilarious.
Fantastic.
All right. I'm going to jump into one of my favorite all time, probably my favorite moment. So I'm going to see if Nick can guess what my favorite moment is before I even play it. One of my favorite moments, because I had a hard time. There's three really top three moments for me, but this is my arguably my favorite moment of all time with Hank.
Is it the robbery of David Krejci?
No, that's close. All right. Three strikes are out.
For any opportunity, watch Ryan McDonough come right into the crease. To come right into your vantage point right there. Boy, and very close to Ryan McDonough, Pierre, putting that hand over that puck in the crease.
No question.
That would have been a penalty shot.
Absolutely. Look at that scramble.
Look at that puck just barely under the pad.
Shootouts, he's 20 for 45. Anywhere close to 50% is tremendous. Briere against Lundqvist.
Briere picks up this puck, head up all the way, Lundqvist out, tries to go between the legs in the reaction from Henrik Lundqvist.
Lundqvist shutting the door on Danny Briere in the 2012 Winter Classic in Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. One of my biggest favorite moments because it was twofold. It was favorite because of Hank's stellar stop of Danny Briere, and then Torts, after saying that the NHL was trying to make a game of it, it gets slapped with a $25,000 fine, I think it was.
Something like that. My favorite thing about that save is the fact that Hank made that Briere tried going through the exact same move that he scored on Hank with in the infamous Olli Jokinen game in the shootout. And Briere tried going right back to it. And Hank said, no, 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 no. I watch film. I remember what you did. You're not doing it again. You shall not pass. And Hank's reaction was just legendary. And also, I know that save holds a special place in Ryan McDonough's heart, too, because, boy, oh, boy, Mac would have been the goat of all goats.
If
Hank gave that one up.
I still think that was BS, but that's just me. All right, here's one of Nick's favorite.
Left four, draws Siegel. Chara in front, Krejci. Oh, save by Lundqvist! Henrik Lundqvist with one of the saves of the year, and I'll be able to say that 3 months from now.
David Krejci immediately asking the referee, should we go upstairs? Was this beyond the goal line when Lundqvist reached back with the glove hand? Didn't look like it at first blush, but you never know. Nice little redirect after good patience by Lucic and Chara. That's,
you can't assume that the puck is in the glove if you don't see the puck across the line. That's the problem. Right?
I mean, Krejci makes the right play. Just one time it, even elevates it, but the dive across by Lundqvist. And this is a tough call.
The way that you knew it had to eat Jack Edwards alive to praise Hank.
That was a great call, though.
It was.
It was actually a great call, ironically, from Jack Edwards, which usually like never happens.
But you know for a fact that it was killing Jack Edwards to like praise Hank and say that that's the save of the year and it'll be the same 3 months from now. Yep. Like it was, but that save was just ridiculous. I mean, that was just stupid. That's the thing about Hank, like. It gets lost, I think, in how great he actually was. But I constantly said that, in a way, Hank was so great as a goaltender, he actually ruined goaltending for me for a little bit. Because I would watch other games and announcers would freak out about, oh, this save is just absolutely phenomenal. I've never seen anything like this. I'm like, dude, my goalie literally does this on a nightly basis. Like, this is not impressive to me. Like, you know, Hank made ridiculous saves look routine. Like, it just was everyday stuff for him. And that's one of the things that just makes Hank so special, is that he was able to play at such an elite level for so long that even at the end of his career, when he wasn't elite, he was still damn good.
Yeah. Like, oh, absolutely.
Like the fact that Ranger fans were like, oh, we got to move on from Hank and make Georgie, you know, whatever. I'm like, guys, do you realize that the goalie that you're saying you have to move on from is putting up the same, if not better numbers than the guy you're saying has to replace him?
There we go. NHL career. Obviously spanning, started in 2005-2006 season where he jumped right off the gate, replaced Kevin Weeks. Started 50 games the 2005-2006 season. He would go on to start 871 games. He would play in 887. Record of 459 wins, 310 losses with 96 overtime losses. He would face over 25,000 shots in his career. A save percentage of 918. Goals against average of 243. And 64 shutouts over his career. And even at the end, he was still posting over 900 save percentage. It's just terrific. I mean, and you talk about a team that was in, you know, the last couple of years, a team that's rebuilding, a team that kind of tore down a piece of it, of itself. And Hank still put up respectable numbers. Without a doubt, Hank is the greatest New York Ranger goaltender of all time, and he is one of the greatest goaltenders in the game of all time, without a doubt.
Man. He's just incredible, and like, there's not much you can really say that hasn't been said about his career. But I think the biggest thing about Hank's career, especially, is that everything he did, he went about in the right way. You can't ever look at his career and be like, you know, that guy. I mean, one of our friends said it the best way I think possible. His career is much like Derek Jeter's. It is, you know, Jeter's one of those guys that nobody will ever say a bad thing about. And you look at Henrik Lundqvist and it's like, you can't bring the guy down. Like, there's nothing there. Just an all-around great guy, yep. Fantastic player, face of the franchise. I mean, look, AV said it best when Claude Julien was trying to chirp Lundqvist. And AV, as much as I don't like AV and have disdain for AV, I will respect him for this. And when he turned around and said, who would you rather have for a son, Henrik Lundqvist or Brad Marchand? And I think that is just phenomenal. He
treated us to one of the greatest chants of all time at the Garden, courtesy of Bruce Boudreaux.
You know,
backstopped us to the "Can you hear us?"
Can you hear us?
I mean, just absolutely.
Can you hear us? I mean, it's just, I can only, and you know, I'm just gonna take a second here and just get into what Henrik Lundqvist as a New York Ranger means to me. I mean, the guy, he is without a doubt, he is my favorite New York Ranger of all time. I grew up, I got to watch Mike Richter. I got to watch Jeff Bukaboom and Mark Messier and Brian Leach and Alexei Kovalov. And, you know, all those guys, yes, I love them. Messier was my favorite. Leach was my second favorite. You know, I remember being a kid in my basement watching games, and my dad would like shoot do you remember the orange street hockey pucks, the balls?
Oh yeah, the
my dad would shoot those at me in the basement, and I would make a save, and I would yell "Save by Richter!" Like, I loved everything about those guys growing up, and you know, going through the dark years and all the really historically terrible Ranger teams and everything that we had to see, you know, that we had to endure. And then, you know, Hank comes and supplants Weeksy, and Hank immediately reignited my love for the game, reignited my love for the Rangers. Everything that, you know, that the bad years had taken out of me, I found again in watching Hank's emergence as a New York Ranger and as the face of the franchise. So for that, I can never repay or say enough how much I truly loved watching his career. It was truly a pleasure each and every night to watch him. He was, you know, you rarely ever say that a goalie is must-see TV. I can only say that about a few goalies. I mean, having lived through watching Dominic Hasek and Patrick Waugh, for sure, must-see TV.
He's right up there with him.
Hank was unbelievable and just an absolute joy to watch. I can never say enough how much fun it was to watch him. And it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of, you know, like my nephew, I'm getting him into hockey at 2 years old. And my nephew's going to grow up and he's going to watch, he's going to follow Igor Shesterkin's career. And he's going to get to say, you know, I got to watch Igor Shesterkin. And I'm always going to be able to look at him and go, yeah, but you never saw Henrik Lundqvist, kid. And I got to see the king. And not only did I get to see him on TV, I seen him numerous times in person. And it was amazing to watch. It was just amazing to watch. And I can never say enough how much I will forever be mad that the New York Rangers wasted his career. because
I
that guy should have won, if not won, multiple Stanley Cups. But I will say this, just because he doesn't have a cup, because it's a team accomplishment, does not make him any less of a great talent and a great goaltender. He is one of the greatest of all time. And for those of you that didn't fully appreciate his career while we had him, I hope you take a second and you think back to the greatness that we got to watch every night, night in, night out for 15 years. And the biggest thing I can say about Hank's legacy as a New York Ranger, he was durable. He was always there. It took a freak neck injury to get him to miss substantial time, you know, 11 years into his career. So from, you know, 10, 11 years into his career, from that standpoint, that doesn't happen too often. We got to see one of the greatest careers unfold. And the biggest thing is, and Chris, I know you'll love this, he did it the right way. When the Rangers went into the rebuild and they asked him, look, we're going into a rebuild. Do you want to go? And he said, no, I want to stick it out here. This is where I want to be. I want to see everything through to the end here. And when the three-headed goalie monster happened, and, you know, that could have been a terrible transition, Hank made it 100% easy. Didn't go to the press, didn't bitch and moan, nothing. Helped Georgie and helped Shesterkin, and was invaluable to both of them. So that is the mark of a true professional. Just look across the Hudson River. When the Devils tried going from Brodeur to Corey Schneider, Brodeur made it a headache. So
I think it's
one of those things where I can never be more thankful that not only was he a great hockey player, but he just got it. He just got it.
Yeah, I mean, you look through the accolades, and I know people will always say, oh, the cup, blah, blah, blah. He's the only goalie in NHL history to record 30 wins in each of his first seven seasons.
He's the first NHL. The only thing that stopped that streak, by the way, was the short lockout season.
First NHL goaltender to start his career with 11 straight 21 seasons and the 15th overall NHL goaltender to have won at least 20 games in a season 11 times. He's got the most shutouts by a goaltender ever at Madison Square Garden. He holds the club record for most games played in a single season, 73. The Rangers' all-time leader in shutouts, both regular season and playoffs combined. Most wins by a Rangers goaltender all-time. Fastest goaltender to record 400 wins in NHL history. Most shutouts, 64 by a Rangers goaltender. Most playoff wins, 61 by a Rangers goaltender. Most consecutive game seven wins, six of them. Most combined games played, 985. Most combined regular season and playoff saves. Most wins by a European-born goaltender in NHL history. Most saves in the shootout by a goaltender in their career. And he's the first goaltender in NHL history with consecutive 50-plus save wins since shots were first tracked in 1955-56 season. He had 100 saves on 106 shots in two games played. He holds the Winter Olympic record for consecutive minutes without allowing a goal, 172 minutes and 34 seconds, which spanned from 2006 to 2010. A member of the NHL All-Rookie Team, won the Stephen McDonald Extra Effort Award twice, once in 2006, once in 2018, was named the Rangers MVP in 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2016, and 2018. Victoria Cup winner with the Rangers in 08. John Halligan Good Guy Award in 08. NHL All-Star five-time, 2009, 2011, 2012, 2018, 2019. Won the Vezina in 2012. Was the NHL first All-Star team in 2012. Second All-Star team in 2013. All-Decade second team for 2010s. Nominated for the Vezina five times. The Hart Memorial Trophy and the Ted Lindsay Award. The King Clancy Memorial Trophy nominated twice. He's won, you know, Olympic gold. He's an IIHF all-time Sweden team. I mean, the international best goaltender, the world championships in 2004, the all-star team in 2004. I mean, he basically has done it all except for winning
the team accomplishment,
which was no fault of his. But that's the big thing to take away. And the other thing to take away, my thing is, you got to see a man carry his heart on his sleeve for a franchise. You got to see a man literally put an entire franchise and the Madison Square Garden on his back for his entire career. The ups and downs, and there weren't many downs during his career, considering his reign in the net. Handled everything, you could say the term the right way. I don't think, the Rangers thing with Shesterkin, Georgie, and Lundqvist, that wasn't handled the right way, but Lundqvist handled it the right way. So even in a situation where everybody bundled except for Hank. He goes down to Washington, he transitions on, he has his health scare, the terrible health scare, which unfortunately eventually, forced his retirement. He returns to the Garden. I hope that Hank is in a position with the Rangers, sort of similar to Olaf Kolzig in his position, where he ends up getting that Stanley Cup. Because he still can get it. He can still get it. So there's a lot of people that say, oh, Hank never won a cup. That's not necessarily true. Because the opportunity is still there. Because you have to think that the Rangers are going to have him involved in some form or fashion in the Rangers, hopefully. And that's all I hope for. I hope for in that regard. But the best thing I can say is to Hank, is thank you. I mean, 30 on Broadway is named in honor of Hank. We have gushed over Hank for his entire career. I got back into playing hockey after being off the ice for a long time and went right back into my old goaltender days and tried to kind of emulate, and I know this might sound ridiculous, but tried to emulate the way that Hank carried himself during a game. And you kind of even see that now in Igor Shesterkin. Some of the mannerisms of Shesterkin, you kind of sometimes have to do a double take because it's kind of like, wait a minute, is that Hank in the net? Because there are some things, they're subtle, but you see them.
Especially when he does that header.
And you've seen the header. Yeah, you've seen the header. You've seen the post plays sometimes, some of the movements and some of the things. And I think that's where you see lasting impacts. So enjoy Friday night. For those that are able to be in attendance, for those that are watching at home, for those that are watching at the viewing party, those that are watching at bars or wherever, you don't get this opportunity a lot. A lot of sports franchises don't have this type of player come along. And it's been a while for the Rangers, and we're at the beginning of something great happening. And let's cherish some of what got us to this point. And Henrik Lundqvist is a huge reason why the Rangers are where they are today.
Well, especially when you consider Hank's impact on the organization in the era of free agency and players moving around so frequently. Even big names, John Tavares went from Long Island to Toronto. I mean, you do see players, it's very uncommon now to see players start somewhere and end there. And look, I know Hank wouldn't have ended with the Rangers because if his heart didn't go the way it did, I know he would have played in Washington. But there is a kind of beautiful poetic symmetry there that it was just, it was meant, I almost think in a way it was meant to be. He was supposed to be a Ranger for life. He was never supposed to be anywhere else. It was just, he was destined for this one franchise, for this organization, and he literally, when you really think about it, Chris, he changed the organization.
Yeah.
He took this organization and dragged it from irrelevancy back to being a Stanley Cup contender.
There's a lot of people nowadays that don't remember. I mean, we were teenagers during the dark eras. You didn't even want to talk about the Rangers because it was that bad. It was terrible.
It was a horrible time to be a Ranger fan, especially with the Devils winning cups and, you know,
the Devils being dominant. You know, the only solace was that the Islanders were crap. But I mean, whoop-de-doo. You know, they still could chirp their 1980s crap. But, you know, yeah, I mean, Hank brought us out of the darkness and into the light.
And it's just, you know, like, you know, I think, you know, somebody had said it, but New York sports franchises have guys that you look towards as, you know, the beacons of the organization. And as much as we all love Messier and we love Mess and, you know, we love Adam Graves and we love Brian Leetch, those guys weren't career New York Rangers. As crazy as that is to say.
Yeah, I mean, you put them.
They
you put
weren't them with, you career know, Rangers.
You put them with Gilbert. I mean,
yeah,
he's the second coming of Gilbert.
Yeah, and it
would have been Eddie. It would have been Eddie as well.
Yep,
had it not gone the way that went. But yeah, look, I think, you know, we had one comment that we'll read later on that said that, you know, he's up there as an icon of the franchise, you know, with Mark Messier. And I think that's fair. I mean, that's, you know, Messier still to this day, my earliest moments of being a hockey fan is Mark Messier, you know, jumping up and down in the faceoffs in the right circle with, you know, a couple seconds to go in the game, celebrating a Stanley Cup. And just, you know, everything with Messier. But then, you know, Hank has been there for the long ride. I mean, most of my time as a Rangers fan, because you know, when you think about it, I was 9 when the Rangers won the cup.
Well, it's like literally half my fandom. I'm 31 years old. Half my fandom was Henrik Lundqvist's career.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just. You know, it's just one of those things where I'm very grateful to have watched a legend and watch his entire career. I'm very grateful for that. And it's something that I definitely don't take lightly because, look, we saw it firsthand. We know how hard it is to go from a great goaltender to another one. So the fact that we went from Henrik Lundqvist to Igor Shesterkin, please, guys, do not take this for granted because it doesn't happen. Because this is very much Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers territory that we are in.
Yep.
This is something that is extremely special that doesn't happen often. And the fact that, you know, we lived through one of the greatest goalies of all time and potentially we could have the next great Ranger goaltender right here in our midst is kind of unprecedented, especially for this franchise. That's
ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's kind of ridiculous, especially for this franchise that doesn't have a history of drafting well. And a lot of the best memories of this franchise come pre-iPhone. So, I really hope that everybody on Friday night just takes a minute to soak everything in, look around. Just remember all the great memories and all the joy that Henrik Lundqvist's play as a New York Ranger brought to your life. Because I know for me, I did my best. I tried to enjoy it in the moment, but it's always one of those. I wish I knew these, you know, I wish somebody could tell you these are the good old days before you leave them. So it's, it's kind of crazy. And I don't know about you, Chris, but I know, like, watching everything Friday night, there's definitely going to be a tear somewhere because that's a part that it's going to get very surreal, I think, for a lot of people. I'm actually very curious to see how Hank handles it, and will his emotions get him, or will he just do like he always did and be in the moment and just be, you know, a rock for everyone. I mean, look, when you think about it, though, the fact that guy, okay, won 6 straight game sevens and that it took Alain Vigneault to break his streak.
It's ridiculous.
just kind of remarkable. So for everyone who always said that he wasn't clutch because he never won a cup, you really look like a moron. I hate to tell you.
Yeah. So, all right, Kyle from Broadway Hats jumping on in just a moment. Before we do that, there is a segment after my chat with Kyle where I read through all the comments and stuff that we got. I did save one to kick off the segment to transition because it's a special one. And Helen Yoon Cruickshank sent us a comment and then also wrote a poem for Hank. So I'm going to read that, and then we're going to jump into the Broadway Hat. The only words that come to me when it comes to someone as extraordinary as Henrik are legend, New Yorker, humanitarian, and family man. Not just his own family, but the family of players and colleagues he has over the years. That's well said. I like that. That is very well said. So she wrote a poem that she composed for the occasion for Hank. To Henrik, with love from New York. The day you first put on the sweater in blue was the day our dreams came true. When you recorded your first Rangers win, all our emotions were in a tizzy and tailspin. The day you passed Mike Richter's milestone was another day you're setting the tone for goalies in the NYR to match or exceed how great you are. When we witness the rise of your jersey, there will be tears of joy amongst the Rangers jersey sea. This will be a day forever immortalized by the Garden faithful. For you, Henrik Lundqvist, we are forever grateful. Well done. Really great way to transition into Kyle from the Broadway Hat. All right, everybody. I am joined by Kyle from the Broadway Hat podcast, as probably arguably, I would say one of the best Ranger podcasts out there.
Thank you.
Which it's been great. We had him on actually in June of the summer, which was a big transition time for the Rangers because we had just had the Gerard Gallant presser. And I think me and Nick were pressing you about Chris Kreider.
Yeah.
Holy crap. What is it like? Just to kick off, I know we're going to talk about Hank, but from June to now, what's your thoughts so far on how things have gone with the Rangers?
I mean, first off, yeah. And Nick and I were going at it, but Chris Kreider, yep. Obviously, you know, his whole ghost thing, and everything else he does over there. I have always been a Kreider supporter. That's something we talked about on the show here, and I've talked about my show. And it's awesome to see him break out. And I talked about it again this week, and I talked about you guys. Like, there hasn't been a guy, I think Nash might have been the last guy, maybe some bit of Girardi, but who has been, like, galvanized a fan base more than him in New York with the Rangers in recent years. Like, you're either team Kreider or you're not. Like, when the captaincy thing was going on, you're either team Mika or you're team Kreider.
Right.
Like, there was no in between. There's no like, oh yeah, Chris Kreider's a good player. It's either you hate that guy or he is your guy.
Right.
So to see all these Ranger fans come out and be like, oh, I was wrong about him. If you ever go on Rangers Facebook, like,
oh God,
there's some crazy stuff on there. Like, I get messages from people like,
we're not in the best of we sometimes get lumped in with some other stuff, and I've butted heads with quite a few on there, but it
can get crazy on there, but I share the episodes because I do get a good response from people on there most of the time, but sometimes I get people like, you should get so-and-so on the show. I'm like, that's great. If you got his contact information, let me know. Cause I can't just call up, you know, like this week I got Danny Kristoln, who's playing with Yager overseas. I am positive I will get DMs asking, oh, can you get Yager on?
Yeah,
I am positive. But yeah, I mean, Kreider, what else can you say about the guy? He's killing penalties now.
It's ridiculous.
He's probably the best, like I write on Twitter every night, best net front presence in hockey. I mean, he's a beast in front. The guy, you saw it for years, like he just couldn't break through to that 30 goal plateau, and now he finally hit it last night. And what a game last night, just in general, you know, just the Rangers in the second period outplayed the Kings and they still fell behind. And coming into the third period, like, you know, Gallant's changing lineups up. He's got Gauthier up on the first line, which I was like, what's going on there? A guy was in the doghouse two games ago and now he's on the first line. I was like, okay, like, that's interesting. And sure enough, Goodrow, who again, I've been a big fan of that signing. A lot of people were not a fan of him. I think he's played really well for the Rangers. I think kind of he got off to a slow start, and I think part of the issue was the guy was partying with a cup most of the summer, and then he got engaged, and then he runs right to New York, and it's a new team, big contract. They throw an A on him, which to me showed that he must have been a really big – he must have had a really big impact on that locker room in training camp.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure right out of the gate. Yeah. I mean
– so, he got – I think it was like the Montreal game or something. He got an empty netter. And since then, he's been rolling. And – but the problem, I think, is he is – he's playing okay when he gets thrown into the top six. But the Rangers, where they're going to be most successful, is he's the bottom six player. He just lengthens the lineup so much there. But I mean, yeah, those are two guys, I think, coming into the season, people were screaming from the rooftops, like, why is Chris Kreider? Why did we give him the contract extension? And why we signed Goodrow? And I think those two guys are two guys that really turn it around and turn Rangers thinking, you know, fans thinking around. But I love to see Ranger fans, like, you know, people who hated him, like, oh my God, Chris Kreider for captain. I'm like, all right, guy. 2 weeks ago,
it's like, hey, you can.
Yeah, I put out a USA Hockey like prelim roster. Like, oh, I think the Rangers would have had about, I think it was like 8 Olympians or whatever it was, and I was listing the guys who I thought would be Olympians before the whole thing, and I listed Kreider as a, and I even wrote on there maybe Kreider USA, and that's when he had like 12 goals, like he was like maybe like 5th or 6th in the league, and I'm like, he's having a good year, like, you know, maybe they would take him. I can't tell you. I got 3 DMs, 2 comments within like 30 seconds. Like, he doesn't belong on that team, blah, blah, blah. And I want to go back to those people now. Like, number one in the NHL and scoring halfway through the year, number one power play goals, 2 shorthanded goals now. You know, one guy said all he does is chip the puck, you know, deflect the puck in the net. They don't need that in Team USA. So, yeah, they don't need a 30 goal scorer.
That's not easy to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah,
you if go it was easy to it. Do, I mean, that's the thing. And that's what I've been most impressed is we've seen Kreider in front of the net. We've seen him doing that net front presence before, and it just not translate.
Yeah.
And this year, it's just I don't know if it's just Gerard Gallant has unlocked him. I don't know if it's the demand that Gallant brings, which was what we talked about back in June. I don't know if it's just there's more talent. You know, we had Jay Kahn from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio on a couple of weeks ago, and he kind of alluded to, well, now you got Panarin, you got Zibanejad, you got Fox, you got other people, so you don't really need it. From, you know, not all eyes are on Kreider, even though you still have all eyes on Kreider because you're like, well, when's he going to do it? And this year, he's just been a beast. I mean, he's gone on. Is it 50? Are we looking at 50 this year?
Yeah. I mean,
it seems within reason now.
He's got 30 through the first 42, right? So, you would think if he can match somewhat of it, he hit 45 at, you know, in that range. I think Nash would, he had 42 a couple of years ago. That was the most since Jagr, I think it was.
Gabrick had 40, had 40, I believe, once or twice. Yeah.
I think Gabrick had it twice. I think,
but it's far and few between for Rangers to score. I mean, even in the history of the Rangers, it's not.
Did you see the Cadillac trivia question last night? The last Ranger
to
lead the league was
it was back in
Lester, I think it was Lester Patrick or whatever, Lester Patrick's brother or someone in 1940.
It was something, yeah. And then there was like the last Ranger draft pick, I believe, that has scored 30, and it was like back to the 70s, I want to say.
Yeah, and it's like Tony Amonte is like the last draft pick that 460 points. These are all things that hopefully he wipes out, so I gotta stop looking at this crap on Twitter too posting that, you know. And another guy, Jacob Trouba, I mean, another guy turning the narrative around, and everyone's saying he's overpaid. He's having a monster year, and I think another thing with Kreider's success is Trouba's putting the buck on net this year, which he didn't do last year at all.
Right.
And with Fox, him, I mean, even Keandre, I think, has played better offensively than he did last year, even though he's maybe not have the gaudy numbers of everyone else. But, and Ryan Lindgren too, like, he's more than just the defenseman back there. Like, he's had a little flash of offense. So I think all that in the blue line is hitting the net is so important for Kreider in front, and that power play. I mean, I know they suck 5-on-5 so a lot of the nights, but that power play, I mean, they're
dynamic right now. Yeah, the penalty kill is one of the best in the NHL.
Yeah,
which is
Goodrow
great.
And
that's a big piece of it. And, you know, and I know a lot of people will say, well, 5-on-5, they suck, but you got to have good special teams to win.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to have a solid penalty kill and a or great penalty kill, a great power play going into the playoffs, that usually, I mean, we've seen it in the history, especially under like the Torts era. It usually bites you in the end. It usually will hurt you. And you start to see them kind of break out 5-on-5. I mean, the other night, all their goals were, I think it was the first time in the season that they've scored two or more, and all of them were 5-on-5, which was good to see. So, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that we've kind of tossed around and debated was, are there moves that they'll make to bring in somebody to solidify the top six on the forward side, you know, to try to slot things down? Like you said, I would love to see Barkley Goodrow kind of anchored into that bottom six with everybody else and kind of lock all that up. And I think that would be huge. So it's going to be interesting to see once we get closer to the deadline. I mean, the rumors that are going on, you know, with Jacob Chychrun and JT Miller, and it's kind of like, yeah, all right,
Miller, something I saw this morning was heating up even more. It looks like it.
Yeah. And he just stepped back on the ice. And now there's all like, oh my God, he's back skating. And it's like, holy crap. It's like, all right, something's got to be happening. But a funny thing, speaking of Rangers Facebook, Jeff Merrick, and I know, do you listen to 32 Thoughts with Merrick? So Jeff Merrick there was an audio clip on the Rangers Facebook about Jeff Merrick talking about JT Miller, and one of the like a couple of the comments were like, oh, Jeff Merrick is a fringe NHL source, like he's not. And I'm like, wait a minute, the guy's got 210,000 followers on social media, he's got outside of Spitting Chicklets, there's no other hockey podcast that has a bigger following, but he's a fringe source.
he doesn't know anyone on the inside. Yeah.
It's like, okay. I was like, moving on.
But he's got a buddy who works in the bathroom attendant at MSG who can tell him everything that he needs to know. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a shame. So, all right, this episode, we've been talking all about Hank, and if I could throw two at you, if you could summarize Hank's legacy as a Ranger, how would you do it?
I mean, he's the greatest Rangers goaltender of all time. And that's coming from a Richter stan. Like, I am a Mike Richter guy through and through. But Hank, I was looking at his numbers this week, and you look at the records he holds and everything else. It's insane. It's crazy to list the stuff that he's done. The 30 wins in the first seven seasons, the first, the 400, the, you know, the shutout streaks. There was one thing that I saw that I think, like you said, I think would summarize Lundqvist for the Rangers career, his playoff dominance, that he was never won a Stanley Cup. Obviously, that's the biggest thing that every single fan will throw back at you when you talk about him. And it's so unfortunate that they just couldn't get it done, you know, that Stanley Cup run against LA, and it was not his fault. You can't blame Hank for those losses. And the next year, I think the team was even better with Yandle back there on the D-line, and if Zuccarello doesn't go down, I think they win the Cup that year. But when you look at what summarizes Hank is they had 14 straight one-goal games between those two playoffs, and that just shows, like, how good and how dominant he was. Like, he was just keeping his team in these games, winning 2-1, winning 1-0. Like you said, Tortorella era. I mean, it was basically go score two goals and hope Hank, you know, holds up the back end, and you know, blocking 100 shots, and that's basically all they were doing. But when you look at Hank, it's just he's a game time. His game seven numbers are incredible. Just a prime time player, a guy who showed up in the line. I mean, he came to New York, and he immediately just took that job over. Like, they had Kevin Weeks there, who was an established NHL veteran. And I think Weeks talked about it on a couple podcasts. Like, he came in, he saw this scrawny Swedish kid, like, heard he was a good player in Sweden, but, you know, whatever. And he just came in and, like, blew the doors off the place and just kind of, like, ran with it. When you talk to all of his teammates, like, I've talked to a bunch of his teammates on my show, and I always bring him up because he's very – it's great he's in the media now, because I hope he comes out more and talks about more of his career, because he's a very quiet guy. He doesn't really come out and say a lot.
Right.
He doesn't do a lot of interviews. So when you talk to his old teammates, like, they walk in, you talk to like a Danny Christo that I had on my show this week, like a guy who, like, he's a fringe NHLer, like kind of a prospect type player, comes to training camp. He's like, yeah, he's like a rock star. Like, you're in all this guy. But then he comes up to you and he's like one of the guys. Like, even though he's wearing a $3,000 suit and you know the hair is perfect, but he's just like one of the guys in the locker room. And they all talk about how hardworking he was on the ice and how not a lot of goalies will want breakaways or shootout practicing on him, on them. He would make guys stay afterwards, take shots on him. And everyone talks about his work ethic and how, and you hear from a lot of these goaltenders that, you know, Dominic Hasek's of the world and Eddie Belfour. I've had people talk about him on my show about how these guys were on practice, how they took practice as serious as games. And that was like, that's what Hank did. Like, he was on the ice longer than anyone else. Had Mackenzie Skapski on my show, who was a backup for Hank, you know, for a couple of years up and down from Hartford. And he just said, like, training camps with New York were the hardest because he couldn't leave the ice until Hank left the ice, and Hank never left the ice. And he's like, you know, this is instilled in these young guys, like, what a good, you know, what an NHL player is and what a superstar is, and right. just showing the work ethic. And so when I think back at Hank's career, before I did this show, it was he's the greatest goaltender in Ranger history, and he's just a bona fide superstar on and off the ice. Now that I'm doing my show for the last year, talking to his teammates, it gave a new light to this, the hard worker that he is, and something that you don't see, obviously, or you don't obviously you don't see because you're not practice every day. But he's not. There's no real stories about Hank, so like that's why I always try to get stories out of people, and like. I had Dan Fritschke on, a guy who came to the Rangers, not a big superstar, played for Columbus for a couple of years. Him and Hank were living in the same building in New York, and he would carpool with him just because he wanted a friend. You know, he wanted a friend to go up to practice with. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this crazy stuff like that. And like, I'm pretty sure he gets his hair cut at some random place downtown that's not like a big salon. Like, it was like he found some haircut place that he liked, and like he just won't share. Barber. Yeah, like he won't share with anyone, but like, you know, like that's the kind of guy Hank is. And I'm so happy that he's back on MSG now, and they'll probably lose him to a big network. I know he's done a couple.
Hey, he's phenomenal spots. On there too.
It's yeah. Like, he's what so can good. The
guy not do?
Like, he's so good. And I hope they keep him around with the Rangers. I feel like he wants to be a part of the Ranger, you know, maybe front office operations team further on, which I think would be great for him to stick around. Cause you see like how much he loves the city. Even when he was down in Washington, his family stayed in New York because the kids love the school and they want to give up their spot in New York. So, Hank, just like all the stuff he's done, the community there, all the charity work he's done, like the 9/11 stuff. You know, he does that telethon every year there, and he's done every year, even last year when he had with COVID and everything, he still participated in that. He has his foundation. So I mean, he's done a ton of work, not only here in the US and in New York, but also over in Sweden. So, I mean, just a really genuine, great guy. And I know he didn't get the cup, which, again, you know, people will say Richter is the greatest because he has a Stanley Cup. And older fans will say you didn't see Eddie Jokinen play, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But Hank's my guy. I was a Graves fan growing up. You know, Graves was my favorite player of all time. But when Graves left the Rangers, kind of, was left without a favorite guy, and Hank came in right after that and kind of took over that spot for me. So, and I think a lot of Ranger fans our age and that watched him and gave his heart attacks every playoff series and his unbelievable saves and the game sevens and everything else, like that stuff that you'll never, you know, never forget the rest of your life.
So if you could pick, this might be hard. If you could pick one of your favorite Hank moments, what would it be? I can't pick one. I have like four or five.
I don't know. I don't know if I have one. There's not, I don't know if it's a moment. I mean, a moment would be maybe game seven Pittsburgh against Pittsburgh when he made all those saves with the stick at the end of the game.
I think that's actually Nick's. I think that's Nick's favorite.
That was incredible. Obviously that sprawling diving save against the Canadians was crazy, but I think if for a playoff game or a big time game at MSG and he's on fire per usual and the Hank chants like the final minute of the game and like the entire garden is chanting Hank, like that's something I think will stick with you more than even a moment. Because like you like feel that, like I can feel that
get the in energy.
My neck right now. Like I can just like
I was actually saying I got a little bit of the goosebumps a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, like you can hear those Hank chants. Like that's the one thing, like you know, I won't be there Friday night for the ceremony. But like, I can't wait to hear the Hank chants on, and it won't be the same. It won't be the same because but they hear the Hank chants one more time in the Garden. Like, the Igor chants are awesome. By the way, like the fact that the Rangers are going from Lundqvist to Shesterkin is insane.
It's ridiculous. They just got to do it right this time. Don't leave the man out to dry. Yeah,
exactly. I think they're starting to do it a little bit better, but, but I mean, yeah, I think the Hank chants the Garden, and just like, you know, he's the king. Yeah. That's what he is. Like he's unbelievable. And like after the big wins, he would reach up to the Garden, like look up the Garden rafters and put the arms in the air. Like that's stuff that, you know, I'll remember more than just the moments. But you know, even like Sam Rosen, like with the save by Lundqvist, the yell, the save by Lundqvist, stuff that you always remember too. Like, that's another thing. Sam Rosen, like, why are people coming after him right now? I feel like so many people come after Sam on Twitter and everything else. Like, that is Rangers hockey's voice. Like, what do you, I hate seeing that.
Yeah. I mean, like, for me, I've had, I love Sam. I think maybe the game is getting to that point where it's like, all right, maybe it's kind of hitting, where is it starting to pass him by? I mean, maybe, but at the same time, Sam, he still calls an awesome game.
Yeah. I don't care if he is blind. I will listen to him try to say what's on the ice. I don't care. I Micheletti, like whatever, like Joe's fine. I understand why people are upset about him, but
you can't replace JD.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
that's
tough.
And that's been tough. The void. Like I'm actually dreading the day when Sam Rosen eventually does retire, because it's like, how do you fill that void? You couldn't fill it with JD.
Who comes in?
It's like John Amarante. Like you'll never have another John Amarante. I don't care who it is.
I saw, I'm trying to think who posted it. Someone said they should do the Amarante recorded.
Yeah, that would be
anthem for the game.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, that would be great. I used to always, I used to tell my dad, I was joking around. I was like, you know, it was a big game if Amarante was in the building.
Especially later MSG. On.
Yeah.
Especially later on. And that was always, and that's where I always kind of, where people were like, oh, the anthem doesn't really mean anything during the games. And I'm like,
oh, it does.
Oh man. Even me playing, I used to get amped up. Like when we would get into like tournaments or playoffs and whatnot, or state championships, and you start playing, like, it just, I don't know. It just, maybe not everybody feels that way, and that's fine, but that's kind of how I always, amped up for it.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, I remember I went to a Ranger playoff game against Philly. I forget. I mean, it was 2015, 16, I forget. It was a 12 o'clock game, and it was a 12 o'clock Sunday start game. It was like one of those games like, wow, why the NHL schedule? It's because they wanted to have three games on NBC that day.
Right, yeah.
I remember like getting to the Garden, everyone's like eating like bacon, egg, and cheeses on the train ride in. Like, it's not like a usual Ranger feel to it.
Yep.
And Amarante was doing the anthem. It was so quiet, like before the game. And I was like, man, they're either gonna get smoked today, or like this place gotta come alive a little bit. Yeah. And Amarante came out for the anthem, and the place just like blew up out of nowhere. Yep. And I was like, yeah, this is, now we're back to Rangers hockey. Now we're back to playoff hockey.
Yeah, for sure. So I like that. I like that it's not necessarily moments, but it's a collection of things, because I do think it is, like I said, I can't pick one. I have so many off the top of my head, and I know Nick and I are talking about this in the beginning segment, but you know, the Winter Classic save on Danny Briere.
Yeah, no, yeah, that too.
I mean, that one, the Montreal spinning save, like you said, the ability of holding off Malkin, Crosby, I think Letang, and God knows who else was in that crease.
It was like 17 Penguins. I mean, it was like the entire
team. And the fact that the ref
there.
Never blew the whistle, and no one could see the puck, and you're just sitting there going like, what the hell is happening? I mean, just everything.
Winter Classic one is unbelievable too. I'm glad you said that. I kind of forgot about that.
It's one of my top. It's one of my top, because that game, it was like that moment was scripted, and it was just made for that moment. And it was a phenomenal, and it's one of the things that anytime they reference back to that Winter Classic, you always see the save by Lundqvist.
I had Rupp on my podcast, and he said that that's like the moment for Winter Classic. Like, he's like,
Jager salute.
Yeah, his Jager salute. Which, yeah. By the way, if you haven't listened to that episode, go. That was a great interview. He's unbelievable. Yeah. But he was saying, like, I think it was Callahan who had his hand on the crease, hand the puck, and he's like, that wasn't even a penalty. Like, he didn't even do, you know, like, well, so he's like, it was all the NHL trying to drum up, more things. And he's like, of course, Hank answered it. And he's like, what a story. But he's like, you couldn't write that ending, like, you know, 10 seconds left. Breer versus Lundqvist and, you know, outdoor. Just incredible. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think the guy was undefeated in outdoor games too. Like, he just,
I think so. All, I want to say, because he won the ones,
he won the stadium series, and
he won the Buffalo game.
Yep.
The Philly game. Yeah, I don't think he lost outdoor.
Yeah, I think he's king of the outdoors too.
Yeah. I mean, again, just excellence everywhere.
Yeah.
even the head and shoulder commercials, excellence. It's like, I don't know what the guy can't do. Like, give me something that I can't do.
I wonder what the gifts are going to be. That's what he's got to be some type of a guitar, I would think, you know, because he's the big musician.
Yeah, because he's a musician. And that's a great musician. It's like,
Yeah. I forget what band it was, like, that he was like, just go join on stage. But
yeah.
And Zuccarello being back, like, that's very cool. The Rangers did that with Zuc there, because obviously that's his best friend.
Yep.
So very cool that Zuc will be there. And I'm sure he'll be part of the ceremony somehow.
I hope so.
Which would be cool, he was a big piece
of the Rangers too.
Huge piece. I will go to my deathbed thinking that if he stayed healthy for that playoff run, then you hit in the head, they would have won a cup that year. I mean,
yeah, they could have. I think that was Nash, the Chicago. I think they would have beaten, because that was when Chicago won. I think they could have taken
Nash had the 42 goals that year. He was finally scoring the postseason, and
yep,
Richards was on fire. Like, the whole team was playing so well. Keith Yandle was having a monster playoffs. And they ran out of gas after another 3-1 comeback. I think the only team in history to do it 2 years in a row still.
Yep.
Which speaks to Hank too. Again
Hank. Yeah.
You know, again, the guy is like another thing, you know? So,
yep.
I mean, it's very, I love the fact that you guys are doing this episode though. I saw you're asking us. I hope you got a lot of feedback from people. Cause I'm loving to hear, you know, when they say,
I got a lot more people that sent me a message and been like, hey, look, I don't want to like talk.
Put your voice. Yeah.
Can I just shoot you what I wrote?
Yeah.
You just read it. I'm like, all right, fine. I'm like, perfect. Cool. We'll do that. And we got a bigger response once we did that. And then I actually had someone that we're going to read that wrote a poem for Hank. It was kind of cool. So I read it before and I was like, oh wow, awesome. So, you know, some interesting stuff. So yeah, we're definitely having a blast with it. And, you know, again, Kyle, thank you for coming on. We enjoyed, you know, we had a blast in June, and, you know, we hope to do this more often. But again, the Broadway Hot Podcast, arguably the best Rangers podcast out there, especially with the interviews and all the stories and everything that you get. If you want to hear of other players, former players and whatnot, through all levels, not even just NHL. Like, you get a lot of guys that are prospects or came and gone and played elsewhere. They're always phenomenal to listen to. So
thank you so much. Yeah. Alrighty. Thanks. It's more fun for me, I think, than the listener is talking to these guys and everything else. So it's a very easy thing to, someone's like, oh, how do you, you find it interesting asking the same question, you know, do it. I'm like, dude, every guy is different. You know,
you're not going to get the same answer.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. I mean, no matter what level of hockey someone's playing, they're going to tell some good stories, and, you know, some locker room talk's never a bad thing.
There you go. All right, here we go for our final segment of the show. We had asked on social media for fans to send us their comments or thoughts on Henrik Lundqvist, and they could do it either audio clip or send us their comments and via email or DM, and pretty much everyone sent it via DM. So just want to read through some of the comments that we got and thought we would share thoughts from Ranger fans, notably Henrik Lundqvist fans, and share those with you to close out the episode. So we'll kick off with Adam. He goes, I became a Rangers fan when Hank first broke into the NHL, and he quickly became my favorite player. Hank epitomizes the goaltender position in dominating fashion, and to be able to watch him do it seemingly every night for his career is enough of a memory for me to, in quotes, last a lifetime. I like that little Sam Rosen there. Kelly writes, to think a 7th-round draft pick would become one of the greatest goaltenders of all time, and not just as a New York Ranger, speaks mountains to the ability, talent, and determination of Henrik Lundqvist. Well said. One of my favorite moments, as I've talked about before, Dave writes, Winter Classic 2012 at Citizens Bank Park in Philly. It was my first experience in an outdoor game, and the biggest memory to me was him stoning Danny Briere on the breakaway. The mystique of the moment, you knew it was going to become a classic one of all time for all Winter Classic matches. I agree. James says, is there anything that Hank can't do that isn't a monumental success? From the goaltending position, his fashion style, good looks, and charm that could melt stone, Hank epitomizes greatness in everything. Even now on MSG Network, he is the consummate professional and excels in all avenues. I didn't even mention his musical talents was just another notch on the excellence meter. Yeah, I earlier with Broadway Hat, I said, what can't he do? Excellent. Steph goes, to me, Hank is up there on the mountain of New York sports icons. Hank's effort between the pipes, hard work, and determination is New York at its core. His style, charisma, and sheer presence molds numerous different aspects of New York into one. Each sports franchise in New York can host one, some many, of their former athletes to that, quote, godlike status. And for the Rangers, Hank is absolutely at the top of the list alongside Mark Messier. That's a big one. Marco's Lundqvist's dominance in game sevens and his ability to keep elevating a franchise to the postseason is something that I don't think there's another goaltender in the NHL that can achieve. Many of the teams that made the postseason with Hank in the pipes, frankly, don't sniff it without him. Yeah, we've talked about that plenty of times. We've talked about that. A good one from Josh. Henrik. 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 Need I say more? No, you don't. Hopefully a lot of that on Friday night. Polina writes, dominance, excellence, work ethic. Anyone that is a goaltender or even player in general should mold themselves in the way that Henrik Lundqvist carries himself. The epitome of doing things the right way. Oh, maybe a little tie back to John Tortorella there, or the right way. I like it. Not bad. Mauricio's, my favorite memory of Hank outside of Rangers moments was his last trip to the All-Star game. And even in the fun and sport of the competition, you could see Hank was in it to win it and delivered a stellar performance. Even in a time when he didn't need to rise up or steal the show or rise to an occasion or put the team on his back, he still put on a show and a terrific performance. That's true. He had a fantastic All-Star game. Nicole goes, a little saved by Lundqvist. All of them, every single one. Every single time, always. It's a little Sam Rosen, a little Harry Potter, maybe in there. So yeah, thank you to everybody that sent their comments. I got a couple that I couldn't read that were good. One, like, I'd give my bleeping bleeps for Hank to win a cup. A couple other ones that were very kind to James Dolan. No surprise there. But overall, again, the love and support for Hank, obviously our podcast 30 on Broadway is named in honor of Hank, one of my favorite Rangers of all time and always will be, and deservedly sits at the top of Madison Square Garden. His banner will hang from the rafters forever, as it should, on Friday night. Thank you to everybody that tuned in for the episode. We appreciate it. We will see you all next time.